Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Miracle of a seed. And I don't know if we've ever really thought about the miraculousness of a seed, but I want us to really get this. Specifically, there's something that I want to kind of tattoo onto the spirit of your heart. There's a truth that I really want to become a part of your thinking in every way that you think. In a seed is its own growth. In the seed, its own growth is in there. A seed contains its own growth. If you are eating an apple and you get down to the core, you can break that core open, you get one of those apple seeds out, and that apple seed, it's very deceptive. Because what you think you're looking at is an apple seed, but what you're actually looking at is an apple tree that's got hundreds of generations of seasons of apples that probably produces thousands of apples. Then each apple has 6, 8, 10 seeds in it. And so you're looking at this little bitty seed and you're totally deceived. That seed has totally deceived you. You think you're looking at a seed, and the whole time you're looking at an apple tree that's got probably millions, maybe multiple millions of other trees in it. And you think you're looking at a seed. That's kind of funny. A seed contains its own growth. It's so miraculous that even science is baffled by it. Science cannot, as amazing as they think they are, as much as they want to try to play God, they have not figured it out yet. You know, all the scientists and all the times and all the places, if you add them all together, you put them all in a room and you gave them billions and billions of dollars and all the equipment that they need, all them scientists, the best of the best scientists by 2017 standard, the wisest, the most amazing, and with all the money and with all the equipment in the whole earth, they all together could never make one seed. Not one seed. They can make something that looks like a seed. They can make something that smells like a seed, that cuts like a seed. But they will never create something that if you put it in the ground, that a tree will come out of it. They might could steal something from some other flowers and take a pink flower and take a blue flower and put them together and make a purple flower. And then they think they created something. It's funny how science works today. You didn't create nothing. You just mixed a couple. It's not creating. And they think they created stuff. It's not that. That God actually made that. Diversity is something that God created. It's not something man created. Amen. Praise God. But in a seed, each seed contains its own growth. This is why the enemy wants to talk you out of seed. He wants to talk you out of it. Because in that seed, you plant that seed in whatever it is. In whatever it is, finances, emotions, health, whatever that seed is that the Holy Spirit is impressing upon you and comforting you to have a part of your life, whatever that seed is, the enemy is doggedly determined of talking you out of that, because if he can get you to keep that seed in a dry and wasted place like your pocket, it cannot be in the environment that it takes for it to reproduce. The Word of God is a seed. And I think probably one of the greatest attacks and the most successful attack that the enemy has had on the body of Christ has been his ability to get God's people out of God's Word. It's for real. It used to be when we were kids, we were required to know some things. I mean, how many books are in the Bible? How many books are in the Old Testament? How many books are in the New Testament? What are their order? Bible drills. Anybody ever do Bible drills when you were a kid? Bible drills. Whoever found it first got a sucker or something like that. Bible drills. You had to know the stories in the Bible. You had to know the names of the characters in the Bible. We like to play games at our house. And we're not allowed to own Bible trivia games at our house because I just own everybody at Bible trivia. But, what's the trivia game called? There's one that's called the Disney edition of Trivial Pursuit. Thank you. The Disney edition of Trivial... Why did nobody know that? Josiah's. So there's a Disney edition of the Trivial Pursuit. You know who loses every time? This guy. You know who doesn't know Disney movies and Disney characters? And I mean, all the time my family's looking at me like, are you dumb? And I'm like, you want to play Bible trivia? Who's Solomon's son? Uh-huh. Now who's dumb? Which one? Which one ruled longer, Rehoboam or Jeroboam? Here's the thing. Whatever you know, you plant. Whatever you're believing in, whatever you're thinking on, whatever you're spending your time and meditating on, those are the seeds that you're planting. Some of us are really good. One of the things that's frustrating to me is that I'll talk to people about the Word of God, getting this in your heart, changing your life through the Word of God. And I'll have people say, well, I just can't read the Word. I just don't get it. I'm like, that's not true. You're trying to tell me that God wrote something to you that you can't get. Well, it's complicated. You know what? The same person, I had somebody do this to me one time, and it worked out pretty good, actually. They said, well, it's kind of complicated. I said, you know what? I have no idea what an ERA is. Earned run average. Those of you that follow baseball, you might know what an ERA. I have no idea what an ERA is. I know if it's too high, you're a bad pitcher. If it's too low, you're a bad pitcher. And they want some perfect number of ERA. I have no idea what ERA is. And the guy that I was talking to was a baseball fan. He could tell me pitcher after pitcher after pitcher what their ERAs were, when they started, what the rotation was for the Cubs. You guys, I mean, some people are Cub gods. Like, they worship at the altar of Wrigley. And I'm like, you have studied and have been diligent about ERA and Cub pitching. I've been diligent about the Word of God. What I know is the Word of God. What you know is the pitching rotation for the Cubbies. You just spent more time in what you spent time in, and I spent time in what I spent time in. What I spent time in is going to be fruitful in my life. What I planted in my heart is going to be fruitful in my life. What you planted in your heart is going to be fruitful in your life. So when you stand up there to rebuke the devil, or when your children come down sick, the best you got is fastball. What I got is by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are healed. Isaiah 53:4, 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are healed. That comes out of me because I planted that in. It can produce a tree in me. So you are an expert in something. I'm telling you right now, I have never met a person yet that is not really good at knowing or doing something. Yet. Not in my life. You're an expert at something. you could be an expert at this. You could put a little itty bitty seed in your heart, and it could make a tree that could make a tree that could make a tree that could make a tree. And you could have a whole field full of fruit bearing trees in your life if you're willing to take that first seed and put it in. Genesis chapter 1, verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit, after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. So seeds produce after their kind, and their growth is in itself. Whose seed is in itself. God said, bring forth fruit that has seed in itself. So in other words, the fruit has fruit in it. The seed has a seed in it. The tree has a tree in it. The herb has a herb in it. Let me say it this way. People have people in them. Gal, I don't want to get deep on this. Gals make a part. Guys make a part. You put the parts together, you got a part. Amen. But sometimes I feel like, never mind. Your spirit man has the same thing. There's a man part and there's a God part. And when they get mixed together, when God mixes them together in the womb of who you are, you can have a birth. The seed produces after its kind. So if you put in your heart, oh man, I have no idea how we're going to pay the bills. Oh, I'm so broke. Oh, I can't afford it. Oh, we don't have the money for this. What are you planting? And got real quiet in a hurry right there. Man, I don't know. Why I'm sick, I just feel this way, and I don't know why I have this growing here, and I don't know why this is wrong, and I you just get older and things start falling apart. Seed. It's going to produce after itself. God created it right at the beginning that every kind produces after its kind. You can't plant complaining and moaning and groaning and receive back from your heart joy, peace, power, faith. You cannot. You cannot plant in your heart lack and words of lack and belief systems of lack and produce abundance, prosperity, wealth. You cannot do it. Not that you won't, you can't. Because seeds only produce after their kind. If I put an apple seed in the ground, what kind of tree will I get? It wasn't complicated. Those of you that don't know, the answer is an apple tree. Man, it is not that late yet. So I can get mad all I want at the apple tree that comes up in my backyard because I wanted bananas. But the apple tree got nothing to do with it. It's the seed I put in the ground. And so if I look at my life and I am sick and I'm mad and I'm depressed and I'm oppressed and I am broke and I have bad relationship dynamics at work in my life, I can get mad at God all I want. I can get mad at the people that I have bad relationships with. I can get mad at poverty. I can get mad at sickness. I can get mad at all this stuff all I want. But I'm just reaping what I sowed. You're going to reap what you sow. Be not deceived. It says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, or 5, verse 6. I always get those two confused. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever, somebody say whatsoever. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That shall he also reap. And he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting. If you're not reaping life everlasting, this is not, This is not tricky. This is why I say this all the time to folks. The kingdom of God is not complicated. The principles of God are not complicated. They're super simple. The gospel's really, really simple. Jesus took all the bad stuff and swapped you for all the good stuff. It's a super simple good news gospel. The application of it is going to take time, effort, energy. You're going to have to change a lot of your thinking. You're going to have to invest time. You're going to have to change your lifestyle. You might have to change your surroundings, your environment, the people that are in your environment. But none of this stuff is complicated. It's very, very simple. A seed produces after its kind. Amen. I want us to stop with all this complicated stuff. And, you know, well, maybe I'm sick because of these 14 things that happened in my life and all. No, just start planting healing. It doesn't matter why you're sick. So many people want to get so involved with the why. Well, why am I broke? Look, here's why you're broke. The devil's a bad devil. You want me to get you unbroke? God's a good God. You believe in the goodness of God, and you'll get through it all. Whatever you have out of alignment, God will show you. He's been faithful to me my whole life. Anytime I've ever gone to Him with stuff that's out of alignment in my life, He's shown me. He's not trying to keep the answers from me. He's trying to get the answers to me. It's just got to get through my thick skull. That's why the Word of God is so important, because He bypasses your thick skull with the Word of God and goes right to your heart. You put this in your heart, and it'll produce 30, 60, and 100 fold, Jesus said. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth. So the earth did what God told it to do, right? So the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind. You know why God did? I dare you to read Genesis 1 and 2 tonight before you go to bed. And look how redundant the language is in there. God said, God saw, and it was good. God said, God saw, and it was good. God said, why? You know, it would have been real easy for God just to synopsize the whole thing. Look, God just made everything. It was awesome. And then He made people, and it was awesome. Why did He go through all of these intimate details and steps in here? Is so that we could see that each thing was something that God said, things happened, and then He saw it. If you want to see it, you start with saying it and believing in what you're saying, and then you'll see it. Amen. We want to bypass this. We just want to see it. Well, where's my health? What have you been speaking? Doesn't matter. Where's my health? God said it. Things responded to God's word, and then it came. And let me say it this way. Even with God, He said things, and sometimes it took up to 24 hours for Him to see what He said. Right? Because it said, and then the evening and the night were the first day, and then the evening and the night were the second day, and then the evening. So whatever He said, in some of these days, He said one thing. And it took a day for Him to saw what He said. Now, if God is perfect, perfect, and creation responds perfectly to a perfect God with perfect words and perfect faith and perfect power, and it still took 24 hours for some things to come to pass. Come on, beloved. There is no microwave drive-through opportunities available to getting the kingdom keys in your life and your heart in a fruitful condition. I cannot microwave an apple tree in your backyard. You want an apple tree in your backyard? There's one way. Put a seed. And wait 10 years. Now, do you have to wait 10 years for things like prosperity and health and all those things? Of course not. But you have to probably spend 10 years doing it for it to really get rooted and grounded in your life. God can heal you in an instant. But you might yield yourself over to another sickness, another disease. Jesus said this. Right? When He cast the devil out, He said that after He cast the devil out, that the house was swept and clean. And so the devil said, hey, they didn't put nothing in the house. So let's go get seven more devils, even worse than ourselves, and go back and live where we came from. You know what the moral of the story is? Don't just get rid of the evil. Fill the house. Don't just get rid of the sickness and disease. Figure out how to live in divine health. Don't just get rid of the poverty for a day. You know, you can work some overtime, get a second job, cut your expenses, all that kind of stuff. And you can get some money in your hand. But how long can you keep that up? Amen. 2, 3, 4 jobs overtime. You know, your body, after a while, it's not okay. This is important. You're going to have to learn how to live in divine health, how to live in divine prosperity, how to live in a divine control over your emotions, a divine control over your tongue. You're going to have to learn by submission, humility, the things that Dennis was talking about, the cuss words. I've been saying this for years, that submission is like a cuss word in the body of Christ. You say submit to somebody, and you might as well slap them in the face. That's not... Jesus was submitted. Moses was the meekest man on the earth. Amen. It's you know what you have to do to pastor 6 million people? You have to be the meekest man on the earth. Amen. The meeker I get, the bigger our church will get. Amen. But let's go over to verse 29. Or wait, did I finish reading it? Let me just finish reading it. And the earth brought forth grass and a herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind. And God saw that it was good. This is a good thing. God creating seed time and harvest is a good thing, not a bad thing. Good thing. Verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed. This is God talking to man that he just had created. I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth. I give you the seed that makes herbs, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree. I give you the seed that makes a tree. And that which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. The fruit shall be the meat. I want you to get that. The fruit that God gave Adam in a seed form was his meat. Get this. The fruit that Adam ate from, God gave to him as a seed. This is really important. Verse 30, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God gave, through blessing Adam, through Adam being created, and God blessed him and spoke these truths into him and gave him dominion and power and authority over his creation. In the same way, God gave Adam the right to produce his own meat through his words and through his faith. And this system exists today. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Do some Bible drills here. Isaiah 55, we'll go to verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. You know, most people misquote that. Most people quote that as saying, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. That's not what it says. It says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. There's a difference. It's really important. I don't have time to break all this down. But anyway, what this is saying is that God has a way of thinking that natural man doesn't have a way of thinking. And God has a man has a way of acting that God doesn't act. Man has a way of being, having ways that God doesn't have. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, how high is that? Pretty high. Quite a span, pretty high. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So there's a high way of thinking, there's a high way of acting that is God's way. And most people just kind of stop there. Well, you know, God's way up there, we're way down here, little old worms us. And the next verse, I have no idea why people on purpose misinterpret the Bible to make ourselves more wretched than we need to be. Verse 10, for as the rain comes down, what does rain do on the earth? It waters seeds. Amen. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, what does snow do? It waters seeds. Amen. We live in a very agrarian society around here. The farmers actually pray for a heavy snowfall in the winter so that when it melts off, it'll soak down into the water table and the ground will be well watered. So when they go and plant, everything is right. Snow and rain are good. Amen. Maybe not in the middle of a snowstorm, but snow and rain are good. And return not thither, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud. And it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You know, Paul quoted this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I think it's verse 10. Paul quoted this exact verse when he was teaching the Corinthian church how to operate in their finances. This is really radical. Paul quoted this Old Testament verse that just kind of looks like this great, awesome God philosophy. He quoted it specifically applying it to finances. Which means that this truth is applicable in our natural lives in whatever we need to sow and reap from. Be it finances or health or emotions or whatever aspect of your life. If Paul can use it for finances, we can use it for whatever the Holy Spirit determines to do in our lives. So as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, it returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So if you're hungry, God will provide your needs. If you need to have your needs provided for an extended period of time by changing the philosophy of who you are, God will provide you a seed. Okay, so seed changes long time. Bread changes today. And you need to believe God for both. Believe God. Remember, Jesus said to pray the Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Right? So we need to believe God for daily bread. But also it says right here that he provides bread to the one that's eaten. So if you're hungry, he'll give you bread. But he doesn't want you to get hungry tomorrow. So what does he do about tomorrow? Gives you seed. Some of you have been eating your seed. You need to stop eating your seed. You need to make your seed do what seed does and make your bread do what bread does. A lot of people have been planting their bread and eating their seed. You'll catch that on Tuesday because most of us live that way. We get something immediately into our hands and we're like, oh, okay, well, this must be for what God wants me to do for 10 years from now. No. That's something that's immediate. God must be trying to provide a need. That must be a grace that had been released for try to provide a need, try to help somebody. It's the things that come into your life on a repetitive basis. These things are seeds that you put in to go out for future times to produce. And not just one time, but you got to keep that up. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. Out of my mouth, the Father said. This is his word. And shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall. Has God ever lied? That wasn't a trick question. Has God ever lied? So if he says it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it, is it going to? Well, it didn't do it for me. Okay, do you want me to believe you or God? Do you really want to go there? Or do you want to just say, hey, you know what, maybe somewhere in there I might have missed it because God never misses it. And don't let that condemn you. I've heard people say, well, great, now I'm just missing it all the time. No, you know what? Missing it is just one other way of not doing it the right way. Thomas Edison said it this way. He said, I know 10,000 ways not to make a light bulb. He found 10,000 ways not to make a light bulb. But he found one. And once he found one, it was all over with. He didn't have to try anymore. So you might need to find 10,000 ways not how to do it to find the one how to do it. But that's okay. Find the 10,000 ways. Abraham Lincoln lost, I think it was 32 elections. Y'all didn't know that, did you? He lost more than he won. And yet he's probably the greatest president that we've ever had in this nation. Amen. And thank God for it. Thank God for it. Thank God he didn't give up. Don't give up, beloved. For so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. So where he sends it, it's going to accomplish in the thing that he sends it to. Let's go to 1 Peter 1, the first chapter of 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Who by him, obviously we know we're talking about Christ, who by him you do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. We just sang that. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. How do you know if somebody's purified their soul? According to Peter and the Holy Spirit, you'll see it in their love for each other. If you see somebody that comes up to you and just rails on you about holiness, 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 and they make you feel like a jerk and they make you feel like a loser and they make you feel like you're good for nothing, they have never purified their own soul. They may be holy on the outside, but they're wretched on the inside. They're whitewashed sepulchres filled with dead men's bones. That's what Jesus said. A person who's actually purified their soul, it's going to be in display by unfeigned love. Unfeigned means without hypocrisy or pure. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falleth off. Your flesh will eventually wither, and the glory of your humanity will eventually go away. And it's going to be replaced by a heavenly body and a heavenly glory. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the word. This word abides forever. Do you know the audacity of Peter to say that? Don't you think about that? It was super, super arrogant of Peter to say, my words that I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit is saying these things are going to last forever. Amen. Y'all don't get that one. Let me say that. Thanks. You were born again because someone told you something that came from this book. And this book is 6,000 years old, if you understand the way that God wrote. Jesus was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. You know, the first verse in the Bible is not Genesis 1:1, it's John 1:1. Because Jesus came before the earth came. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. John 1:1. And then the Word, in Genesis 1:1, created. The Word was first. Creation was next. If you want something in your life, it's coming from the Word first. And then the creative power of God, secondly. Let's go to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. We're using a lot of ones tonight. Psalms chapter 1, blessed. This word blessed in the Hebrew means empowered to prosper. Empowered to prosper. This is a powerful word. Empowered to prosper is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Dennis just literally ministered on this. Dennis and I do not talk about what he's going to minister on, what I'm going to minister on. Holy Spirit's got something to say about you having godly counsel in your life. Ungodly counsel in your life will cause destruction. Godly counsel in your life will cause you to be empowered to prosper. Empowered to prosper is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I don't have time to develop this, but this verse shows you the degradation of a person who goes from good to bad. First they're walking in the counsel of the ungodly, then they're standing, then they're sitting. First they're kind of moving around, then they get slowed down, then they get stopped, and then they finally sit down and they allow these things to take place in their life. Let me say it this way. If you find yourself slowing down, you need to get some help. Get some godly counsel. You need to get away from the ways of the sinners, and you need to not sit in the seat of the scornful. You know what scornful is? People who are negative about everything. Do you hear what that preacher said? Do you hear about what that church is doing? Did you hear about that person over there? Did you hear about the person I work with? They're scornful people. They just got nothing good to say about nothing. If you got those people in your life, you either need to witness to them and get them born again, or you need to get away. In Jesus' name. But his delight, verse 2, but his delight, a blessed man, an empowered to prosper man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. A person that's empowered to prosper is going to be delighted with the law of the Lord. In this context, the law of the Lord, I believe, is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that's made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 8, verse whatever that is, 2 or 3. There's the law of the Lord that we have, the Lord Jesus Christ. His law is the law of the Spirit of life, the law of love, the law of grace, the laws of faith. These are the laws. If we delight in these laws, then we know that we are a person who is destined to prosper. We're empowered. There's a grace, there's empowerment in our lives to create empowerment. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Day and night. Those of you that got a daily bread, and you, when we were kids, we had a little loaf. Anybody had one of these? Had a little loaf that sat on our kitchen table, and we pulled out a little daily bread. It was called a daily bread, and it was a little piece of cardboard and had one verse on it, and you're supposed to meditate on that verse for that day. And so, then you put it on the back side of the loaf, and then tomorrow morning you wake up, you pull the other one, you put it back, and it was called daily bread. And that was our... Amen. God blesses the simple. That was supposed to be our meditation of the word for the day. One verse of scripture on our way out the door to go to school or whatever. The devil will own you. He will eat your lunch and pop your bag if that's your devotions, if that's your meditation. The person that is empowered to prosper meditates in the law of the Lord day and night. Day and night. What you meditate on day and night, you have. The seeds that you're planting by day and night. And for some of us, you say, well, I got to work. I got to concentrate on work. Okay, let me say it this way. Can you worry when you're at work? So you're meditating on things that could go badly, things that could go wrong, things that could break, things that people could say to you, things, bad things that could happen, bad things that could happen in the nation, bad things that could happen in the block, bad things that could happen on your job, bad things that could happen to your boss, bad things that could happen to your finances. You can meditate day and night on bad things. Am I wrong? We're totally wired that way. That's normal. In fact, if you walked up to somebody and said, how you doing? Well, I'm kind of worried. It wouldn't throw you off. What are you worried about? I know, I'm worried too. That'd be most people's response. I know, I'm worried too. It's, you know, have you been looking in our world? Have you been paying attention? Have you been watching stuff going? I'm worried too. We can meditate day and night in problems and mistakes and issues and negative things that are going on and negative things that happen. If you can do it in the negative, you can do it in the positive. You could meditate in the Word. You could meditate in the Word. I had to train myself how to do this because I was hardwired to worry. I was hardwired to think of most, I think it was, I don't know, management training or something. Something trained me that I always had to think about the worst case scenarios. Well, what if so-and-so calls into work? What if the maintenance man's truck breaks down? What if this happens? What if this person gets in an accident? What if this person, what if this investigation goes wrongly and I got to fire so-and-so? What if? You know, I don't know if it was management that trained me, but I was hardwired. I was trained to worry about the what ifs and the negatives and the worst case scenarios all my life. I had to literally rewire my brain, rewire my thinking through the Word of God, through the power of God, to make me meditate day and night in the things that God would want to do. I carried in my wallet. In fact, I still got the wallet. I used to carry a wallet in my wallet. I took a post-it note and I wrote down, one of them was Psalms 25:23, I think it is, where it says that the fear of man brings a snare, but he that honors the Lord, man, how's it go? Anyway, it must not have carried it long enough. But the fear of man is a snare. Maybe I need to put it back in there and get a wallet. But anyway, I carried it around on a post-it note for years. And every time I opened my wallet, I would see the fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man brings a snare. Because that was one of my biggest fears. One of my biggest fears was the fear of man. The fear of my bosses, the fear of people's influence in my life, the fear of things that people could do to me. I was super, super in debt. I had 6 rent houses. And I had all this debt, and so I was fearful about what the banks would do. I had all these fears associated with the fear of man. And so I had to rewire myself that every time I felt one of those fears, and you know what I'm talking about, where you get that knot in your gut and you get that, you know, that just that nasty feeling, that nasty kind of taste in your heart. And I would have to open my wallet up. And every time I'd open my wallet up to go and buy something, either for work or for personal, every time I'd open my wallet up, there'd be that posting note, the fear of man brings a snare. Fear of man brings a snare. Fear of man brings a snare. No, not going to have a fear of man. I'm going to fear God. I'm going to honor God. I had to rewire myself to think about the positive things that God wanted to have happen. I had to meditate day and night in the best case scenarios, right? The positive things that God wants to do. His promises in my life. His incorruptible seed that was trying to get into my heart so that I could let the rain and the snow come down and water the things that God had for me. Amen. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be. This is what happens when a person delights in the law of the Lord and allows this to be his meditation day and night. This empowered to prosper person, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. In his, somebody say in his season. In his season. You know, trees produce in seasons. A tree doesn't have an apple tree doesn't make an apple 24 hours a day. It does make an apple 24 hours a day, but it does not make apples 12 months a year. There are times in our lives, I dare say seasons, because people take this stuff and they get all funky with it. But there are seasons in our life where God is developing things to bring forth fruit in our lives. And we have to allow that to take place. I'm in one of those seasons right now. God is changing some of the ways that I've been thinking about things over the last few years. And I am right now, I'm changing that over. And so I'm in a time where I don't have any fruit hanging from my branches. But y'all hang with me a couple months. Hang with me a couple months. There's going to be some fruit hanging. In some places that I haven't had some fruit hanging before. That brings forth in its season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Say, whatsoever I do prospers. I want you to start hardwiring yourself with this stuff. You have told yourself, I'm going to do this, it's going to fail. I'm going to do this, it's going to not work. I'm going to try this and it's going to fail. I'm going to do this. And it's going to fall apart. I want you to start saying this stuff over yourself. I'm going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit flows out of us, out of our bellies, like rivers of living water. You are the oaks of righteousness, it says in Isaiah chapter 61. We are the oaks of righteousness that are planted by the rivers of living water, which is the Spirit of God. The born-again people are the oaks of righteousness who are planted by the rivers of living water that flows out of our spirit. that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. I want you to get this. On these kind of trees, on these empowered to prosper people, their trees don't have their leaves wither and fall off. There's no autumn on your tree. You know, a lot of people think this. Well, I'm just in a dry and weary land right now. I'm just like the children of Israel. I'm going through the desert. Well, get out. Amen. It was only like, I think it was a 7 or 8 day walk from where they got into the wilderness to where they got out. They could have walked it in 8 days, but they decided to go around in circles. 40 years. 40 years. They were in the wilderness because they wanted to be in the wilderness. God never wanted them there. Just like Dennis said. God never wanted them there. They wanted to be there. You don't have to have your tree wither and fall off. Amen. Your leaves can just stay green. Y'all don't believe me, do you? 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse, I'm just going to let Gunner pull it up. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. 9. Go to 8, Gunner. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you, that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord. And if you go, you can go read up there in the beginning of that chapter. It's talking about the joy and peace and the love of God and the goodness of God. These things being in you and abounding will make it so that you are neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. This is really powerful. So go to 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Some of the reasons that some of us are missing it is because we're not focused on our calling and our election. For if you do these things, you shall never... If I walked up to you, if we didn't just read this together and I walked up to you and said, hey, do you think that you're going to fall? You think you're going to slip up and make mistakes and have problems? Oh, of course. We're only human, right, brother? In my Bible and on this electronic Bible that we're all looking at, it says that you can actually be diligent about the things of God. You can actually have things going on in your life and your heart that makes it so you don't have to fall. Anybody believe that? You know, you don't have to prepare for failure. You don't have to expect it. You should be shocked. I cannot tell you how many times I've laid hands on somebody, and I was shocked, shocked that the power of God did not just knock them 20 feet over. Because I'm telling you, I was revved up and ready to play. Power of God, I know it was there. I was faithful. I was ready. I had already envisioned it. I had imagined it. I had known it. And I'd go to lay hands on. There's times I've even felt stuff. Like I felt that tingle and or warmth or something like that. And I'm like, man, did you feel that? And I've had people say, no, I didn't feel nothing. Man, you should be shocked that the miraculous of God is not happening. We're talking about the miracle of a seed. You should be shocked when these things don't happen. If you put a healthy seed in healthy ground and it has sunlight and water and it does not come forth, does not spring forth, you should be shocked. Amen. As shocked as Marty was to come home and hear the chicks tweeting, whatever they were doing, she shouldn't have been shocked by that. She should have been shocked if they weren't tweeting. Amen. Amen. You should be absolutely shocked that what you have your faith out there for, sometimes you just miss it a little bit. And I don't mean a little bit. Because we should be expecting the goodness of God to be manifested in our life, in our hearts, in every way. In every way. If things aren't happening the way that you are believing God's promises to happen in your life, you should be upset by that. And you should be really diligent. Diligent, that's one of the one of the words that the Apostle Peter used here. You should be really diligent about finding why those things aren't right. Sometimes we just fail and we're like, whatever, I guess I'll just go on. You know, I mean, it didn't work. Right? I mean, it didn't work. Let's say you go out there and you go to start your car and it doesn't start. What are you going to do? You're going to just take the keys and go, you know, throw them in the dumpster and call the tow truck. Say, I guess this car's broke. You can just have it now. It didn't start. So it's worthless. There's no, this car ain't going to work again. I just have to go get me another one. And I know I still got payments on it, so I guess I'll just keep. And then somebody like Scott comes along and he says, oh, hey, look, you just, you know, the gear shifter wasn't quite all the way into the right spot. Here, put it in again and now try it. Oh, popped off. Hey, look at the air. It works. Yeah, it's miraculous. If you would actually be, it would be weird to you if somebody says, well, it didn't start that one time. I tried to turn the key and the key didn't turn. So therefore, the whole car is broken. I need to throw it away and go get a different one. You'd be like, whoa, what? What logic is that? But we do that all the time with our faith. Well, I tried that. You tried it? What do you mean you tried it? Like a special flavor of ice cream? Because we had ice cream yesterday. Like a special flavor of ice cream, you tried it? Like you didn't, you might have liked it or not? No, you don't try the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is something, if the Lord says, by his stripes I am healed, and you're not manifesting it, you don't try it. You do it. Amen. If the kingdom of God says that he became poor so that we, through his poverty, might be made rich, 2 Corinthians 8:9, if he was poor, which is true, and that poverty was made for you to have prosperity, and you're not prosperous, that you don't just say, well, I tried that. You what? You don't try that. He didn't try dying. He didn't try it out. Say, well, Father, I'll give it a chance. See how it works. Let's see if it does some stuff. If it does some stuff, then it'll be good. We'll go ahead and go through it. But, you know, if it's not working, if it's not quite going the way that I want it to go, Father, we're just going to go ahead and back it on out. Like, if the crucifixion gets really, really painful, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to bring myself down off the cross and we'll have to figure out another way. He didn't try it. Amen. You shouldn't try it. You should do it. I got a t-shirt that's got Yoda on the front of it. Yoda says, do or do not. There is no try. There is no try. You don't try this stuff. You don't try the kingdom. You do the kingdom. Amen. We live there. All right, back to Psalms. And his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So let me give you a quick synopsis of what's going on with a person that allows the law of the Lord, the truth of God, to empower his life. These promises to be seeds that go down in their heart. The miracle of this seed to go down in their heart. Number one, when they delight in the ways of God, Jesus said that in John chapter 5, Jesus said that he only did what he heard the Father say. He only did what he heard the Father say. And so Jesus delighted in what the Father had to say to him and did it. We should delight in what the Father has to say to us and do it. Number two, he meditates in the Word day and night. Meditates in the Word day and night. If you can worry, you can word. If you can worry day and night, you can word day and night. You can put something, write it on you. I used to write scriptures on the palm of my hand. And I'd go into restaurants and I'd shake hands with people. One time I shook hands with the area vice president and he must have seen it or something. He's like, did you get a tattoo? I said, no. Because tattoos were illegal in our corporation. And I said, no. He goes, what's on your hand? I said, it's something to remind me of what's important. And he said, well, what is it? I said, well, it's verse, you know, whatever. And he says, oh, that's the Bible? And I said, yeah. He goes, well, what's it mean? And I quoted him the verse. He goes, that's a good verse. I said, amen. He's like, so anyway, your parking lot out here needs to be resurfaced. I'm like, okay, get right on that. But I used to write them on my hand so that I could be like, I can meditate. I could be cooking on the grill and getting at it, you know, and I could get a little break and be like, all right, Lord, I know you want to do these things in my life. Here it is. Whatever you got to do to put this stuff in your life and your heart, if you really believe it's a seed, do it. He delights in the Lord, and he meditates in the Word day and night. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 through 17 tells you about the power of the Word of God. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said the Word of God is good and it's powerful for rebuking, for correction, for chastisement, so that the man of God may be perfect. Do you want to be perfect in the ways of God? Yeah, well, the Word of God is going to get you there. So that the man or person of God, the man or woman of God, can be perfect. The word perfect means mature. Do you want to be mature? I hope so. Amen. Nobody wants to have a 40-year-old Christian that we got to still change your diapers all the time. Amen. You want to be mature in the things of God. The third thing that happens is that they are planted in a well-watered place. Well-watered is talking about the Spirit of God consistently flowing. Remember, Jesus called the Spirit of God the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. If you want to be planted in a well-watered place, these are the things that happen to the person that's empowered to prosper through the Word of God, through meditating in the laws of the Lord. You're going to be planted in a well-watered place. Let me say something real quick about planting. If you plant a tree, leave it planted. Dear Jesus, quit pulling trees up and putting them somewhere else because you think they're prettier. Well, I didn't like that tree in the front yard, so I put it in the backyard. And then I took it out of the backyard and put it in the side yard. And I put it outside. People do this when they go to churches. Well, I went to this church, and then I went to this church, and I went to this church, and I went to this church, and I went to this church. Oh, yeah, really? How much growing up and maturing have you done? Well, not really much. I was kind of fell apart over there. I fell apart over there. I'm like, yeah, why don't you get planted? Well, I don't really like this church. Hey, get planted. Find one. Get planted. Dear Jesus, plant. Well, it's not the best church. You're never going to find the best church. Really? There is none. There's no best church. There's no perfect church. There's a bunch of imperfect churches that are not quite the best, and they're filled with a bunch of imperfect people who are all figuring it out together. Just get planted. You'll look just like the rest of the trees in the flock, and get around water and let the Holy Spirit make you holy and make you perfect, because the church ain't going to do it. That's a good place for an amen right there. Amen. And, you know, I had a perfect church one time. It was awesome. It was perfect. It was K&I. It was perfect. She listened to everything I preached at her. She usually did it all. And if she didn't do it, it looked like she did it. And then people started showing up to church. And then it just got imperfect. Amen. That's supposed to be a joke. As soon as we all get together, we're not perfect people yet. As soon as we all get together, we're imperfect. So there is no perfect church. There's good churches that have a heart for God that are trying to change. We're trying to build the house of grace. We want you to build the house of grace with us. And if you're called to be here, get planted and keep your roots down so they can get down and get a good drink every time it needs a good drink. Amen? Amen. John 7:38, Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit being the watering of your life. The fourth thing that happens is that it brings that you, when you're planted, you bring forth His fruit at the right time. His fruit. Remember, you're bearing fruit for others. Don't eat your own fruit. You're not cannibals. We don't eat our own fruit. We get together and we share fruit. Amen? God's not raising cannibals. Don't try to eat your own fruit. The fifth thing that happens, his leaf does not wither. There is no falling away of this person's leaf. And six, everything turns to prosperity. And I just want to read this real quick. Psalms 92, and then we're done. Psalms 92, you're already in Psalms, so just go over 92 chapters, 91 chapters. Psalms 92, verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord, remember we're building the house of grace, those that are planted in the house of grace shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. You want to be fat? I don't know what to say. Put me on the spot. I'm already too fat. You want to be fat in the things of God? You want to be obese with joy? You want to be overweight with love? You want to be busting out with love handles of real love? You want to be breaking your pants because you are so full of prosperity? Amen. You want to be fat in the things of God. This is what's happening to these people that are allowing the laws of the Lord and the meditations of their hearts, days and nights, to change them. They're empowered because of the miracle of the seed of the Word of God. A seed contains its own growth. A seed contains its own growth. You put those seeds in you, and you keep them watered, and you don't try to abort them, you will have the promises of God manifest in your life. You will have trees of righteousness by well-watered places that are producing fruits eternally, and your leaves will not wither and fall off. Amen? Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you that your word is true, and it's going down into the hearts, the dirt of these folk. Thank you for making us out of the dirt of the earth, so that when your word is spoken over us, it can go down into us, and then the Holy Spirit waters it, and the sunlight of our Jesus Christ, his face shining as the sun, can give it light. And so through the Spirit's water and through the light of the face of Jesus Christ, going down into the dirt of who you created us to be, there's going to come forth these strong, huge, fruit-bearing trees that are planted by streams of living water that have leaves that don't fall off. All these powerful things, these empowered to prosper promises that are available to all of mankind are going to be a part of who we are, because we're going to meditate day and night in the Word of God, and we're going to let your law be our delight, your law of righteousness, your law of faith, your law of grace. We thank you so much for these being our truths, and we pray together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Let this stuff get into you so that it changes everything. Hopefully we'll see you at the lake tomorrow. Be warmed and be filled in Jesus' name.